Buffon, and then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net! Mamma mia! Romelu Chiesa now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Elbert Elise! La Pantarita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we're following up here the triple option with RB and KD. A couple of quick scores here today. Chelsea 3-1 over Brighton Hove Albion. Probably not the best Chelsea performance. Kurt Zouma, Reece James, and Jorginho. And Wolves 2-0 over Sheffield United today. If you did not see the goal from Raul Jimenez, who essentially just caresses a cross, and you need to see it. Welcome into the Horn here in Austin, Texas. Excited about this show tonight. Austin FC fans, if you do not know your assistant coach, Davey Arno, well, you will after this version of Soccer Matters on Horn FM. The show is always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLawAustin.com. We're streaming at HornFM.com. Call in number 512-447-3776 on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline. And, of course, hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, GlennDavisSoccer.com, Facebook, Soccer Matters. All right, BK, I do know that you've got some NHL on tap tonight, so I was listening to you talking about the Dallas Stars.
Oh, yeah, Dallas Stars one game away from punching their ticket to the Stanley Cup Final, which has a lot of my attention this evening, no doubt.
Yeah, I just saw a preview of the game. You know, the one time many years ago I went up there, it was unbelievable. It was like a cocktail party. You know, it was just so strange for me growing up on the East Coast, going to New York Rangers games at Madison Square Garden to see and go to hockey in a warm weather climate. But we know how popular it is, so I hope your team gets it done tonight.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. And it's no MSG. Games at the Garden are pretty spectacular. I got to go to a Rangers game up there a few years ago, and the atmosphere was second to none.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, still to this day. 512-447-3776 is the number to call in if you want to hit me up right now. We got Brian Sciarretta coming up in the next segment. Now, Brian and I, and especially Brian, is really up on all the players that are playing in Europe. And if you notice now, there are some amazing things going on with not only U.S. players, but players from Major League Soccer, all kinds of deals. Reggie Cannon just went to Boa Vista in Portugal, so we got a lot to catch up with him. Conrad De La Fuente playing for Barcelona, the first American to play for Barcelona's first team, coming on in the second half in a friendly against Gimnastic. So a lot of good stuff tonight. Brian will be on the show here shortly. And then we're going to finish it off with a nice, long, very in-depth interview with Davey Arno. Now, I will just first tell you, this is a guy of full 100% integrity. Tremendous guy. Self-made, went to West Texas A&M, left college early, not to make a lot of money, to play for the Kansas City Wizards and Bob Gansler, and the rest is history. Well over 200 games in Major League Soccer. Was teammates with Josh Wolf, so this is something that makes real sense, him coming to the staff and working with Josh Wolf. So looking forward to having you hear that interview. Great entertainment value this weekend. Liverpool 4-3 over newly promoted Leeds. Guess who scores in that? Jack Harrison, the former New York City FC player, played at Wake Forest, was at New York City FC when Claudio Reyna, now the current Austin FC sporting director, was there. Oh, and a hat trick from Mo Salah. Sorry, forgot about that. Liverpool 4-3 winners over Leeds, but so amazing to see Marcelo Bielsa plying his trade now in the Premier League. Leeds United story is pretty amazing. So a lot of that. Texas women went down to Kansas 1-0 in their opener. They're at TCU this weekend. They outshot Kansas in that game. Quick update here in Group D of the USL Championship. San Antonio FC, 8-1-3, finally got beat. Five more wins, though, than second-place Tulsa. Austin Bold at 3-2-6 in third. They struggle to win games. They've drawn four straight now. MLS is rolling on in phase two. And, of course, Austin FC is following, you know, what is an interesting trend in Major League Soccer, and that is, again, young South American and Central American talent. So Austin FC has signed Rodney Redis and Cecilia Dominguez from South America. The league is cashing in on tremendous talent all across the board at fair prices. Equally strong investment. So it's pretty good for us. And it's going to be good for us in Texas because you're going to have three teams here now. And Austin's going to come in. And Austin FC is going to rattle the cages. They're hitting it out of the park when it comes to all the decision making they're producing, from their coach to their sporting director to youth director, youth general manager. It's all being hit out of the park. Two early signings, young, mobile, athletic, skilled and talented attacking players. But then you're going to have Josh Wolf, a young coach in Austin. You're going to have Tab Ramos, a young coach in Houston. You have Luchi Gonzalez, a young coach in Dallas. And I'm interested to see how Austin FC will raise the bar for these two other clubs. What type of reaction it'll bring. Now you're going to have the ability for fans to travel to games in Houston and Dallas from Austin. And you will be able to get tickets in those two markets. I'm not sure it's going to be quite as easy the other way coming to Austin, but you will be able to get tickets. And that's not a slight. That's just a fact. And then you factor into that, and I love this part of it. The Austin Bold and San Antonio in the USL Championship, all real close. And then you begin to think about the amount of opportunities for fans to see a higher level of soccer, for players. Now, let's not forget, on San Antonio and the Bold, there's former MLS players, there's young rising talent. There's a lot of good things happening there, too. So players, coaches, front office personnel. I mean, this is fantastic. If you look at just Austin alone, with Austin FC and MLS, and then, you know, San Antonio FC and the Bold right nearby. Phenomenal. Remarkable opportunity in the sport of soccer now and simply in the Austin area. And all ships are going to rise with that tide. That's the feeling I get with Austin FC. I get the feeling they want to embrace. They want to be a part of the entire soccer community. They want to earn its trust, are earning its trust. And they are well on their way to doing that and recognizing that along that journey, they're really, really embracing the culture and diversity of Austin, Texas. So good stuff. Today I had the opportunity. I hosted a meet and greet courtesy of Adidas with the NWSL. And these are opportunities that I always get reminded that the biggest assets Major League Soccer and the NWSL and the USL Championship and on have are the players. So I did this with three players from the Houston Dash and the NWSL, Megan Oyster, Rachel Daly, also the England International, and Shea Groom. And they were excellent, just eloquent, could speak on any topic, even got some challenging topics. NWSL is playing friendlies right now to kind of remain in the picture. But there's a lot of high-profile players that are heading over to England. And they're heading over to England much like MLS players want, for the experience, the history, the brands. Does it begin a tug of war between players going to Europe and the NWSL? All right, we're going to take a break here. Before we go to break here, quick reminder, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, they are our presenting sponsors. It's DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. They are bilingual. You get in a car accident, motorcycle, might drive an 18-wheeler, you call John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. Also, by the way, they are the presenting sponsors of this show and the one in Houston as well. And then our great friends at Lustau Vermouth. Get a little Spain in your life. Lustau Vermouth is fun over ice with tonic water, club soda, or my favorite, in a gin and tonic with an orange peel and a few drops of lime. Lustau Vermouth is refreshing. Ask for it at your local liquor store. We'll take a break. We come back from American Soccer Now. Brian Ciaretta will join us. Nothing bad when you come back with Led Zeppelin. Quick word here for our presenting sponsor, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. They are personal injury attorneys. You get in a car accident, a car, boat, motorcycle, you might drive an 18-wheeler. Well, all you got to do is call the Daspit Law Firm, 512-865-6710 in Austin, 512-865-6710, and DaspitLawAustin.com. You can find out more. But big supporters of soccer, they get this show on the air in two markets. A big thank you to John Daspit, DaspitLawAustin.com. Lou Stavermuth also, I'll tell you, it's refreshing. I mean, it is a really fun kind of a drink. You do it over ice. You do it over ice with tonic water or club soda. You break off a little orange peel in there. Really, really refreshing for our climate, too. And then, obviously, you can use it in a gin and tonic the same way. There's a couple different kinds, but Lustav Vermouth is refreshing. You can get the Rojo. It's got caramel and cola hints. Good in a Manhattan or a Negroni. The Rosé with a hint of vanilla or the white. Both great in gin and tonics. Lustav Vermouth, ask for it at your local liquor store. All right, coming on now. Brian Sciarretta does a tremendous job of covering the game when it comes to American players, Major League Soccer players over in Europe, and does a tremendous amount of research to get us the information week in and week out. Brian joins us now. Brian, thank you very much for coming on.
Oh, thank you very much, Glenn. It's always a pleasure to be on.
Always a pleasure. Fellow guy from New Jersey calling in from Morristown, New Jersey. So I'm gonna really rattle off a lot of stuff to you tonight because there is like you've said in your tweet at Brian Sciarretta, there was a lot to cover this weekend. So let me start with Weston McKennie because this is pretty incredible. He's on loan from Schalke. I see the image of him with Cristiano Ronaldo, right? How legit is this? How legit is playing time? How much of a fight is it going to be for Weston McKennie to get it?
I think he's going to get it. I think he's going to get it. I think they're going to give him a fair shot at least early in the season. I mean, look, the modern game right now is so athletic. It's more athletic than it's ever been. Now, the skill is still there, but there's more of an emphasis on athletic players, and Weston has that in absolute droves. I mean, he is a heck of a player, and and I also look at the transfer value too. You don't even for a team like Juventus, you don't put that kind of money out there for a player. You're not taking a flyer on them. They believe in them. So I think, and obviously I think that whether or not this deal moves forward as a full-time basis beyond this year is contingent on how much he plays, how many games he gets. And, so I think they're going to want to, kick the tires here and see what they can get out of them, at least early on. I'm betting on a lot of playing time early.
Weston McKennie, unbelievable. In the uniform of Juventus, pretty incredible. Tyler Adams, Red Bull Leipzig. I heard a report that he played as a center back in a preseason game, which you never can read too much into that. Mm-hmm. Where do you see him at Leipzig right now? Will he be back in midfield, and can he reclaim a starting spot there consistently?
Well, they had a nice cup win over Nuremberg, which is a lower half second Bundesliga team. They comfortably won 3-0. He was the man of the match in that playing center midfield. You know, I think that's the big test for him. I mean, since he's come back from that long-term injury last December, it's been either coming off the bench or starting at right back, and maybe occasionally a start in center midfield. He's done well off the bench. But I think eventually, now that he's had the benefit of a healthy full preseason, that he'll return to the midfield. That's his best position. I mean, you don't find players that often that can cover that much ground as he can. So I'm looking for him to return where he should be in center midfield. He's now older, wiser. He's approaching that veteran status now. So, they now have a good idea where to read him. And having the preseason is key.
Yeah, by the way, the New York Red Bulls, I tell you, they miss him so much. Oh, my God. poor Chris Armas. That was a bit of a shocking removal of him, I think, for a number of reasons, but that's another story. Conrad De La Fuente. Now, this is an interesting story. Had a father who worked in the Haitian embassy in Madrid, mm-hmm. ultimately gets scouted by Barcelona. He's now all the way up to Barcelona B from La Masia. First American to play for Barcelona in the first team. He comes on in the second half against Gymnastic in a friendly.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be really interesting because I do not have a good sense of how this is going to play out just yet. I mean, you know, when everyone's healthy at a Barcelona team, is he going to get the minutes that all players need, regardless of what kind of how good of a team it is? I mean, training, even with the best of the best, can only take you so far. You need to play. And then, but at some point, you know, they have their reserve team, Barca B, in the third tier. That is that really going to be good enough to test him? I don't think so. So he's kind of in like that in-between zone as to where it's going to go. And, you know, one potential guess I might have is to train with the first team maybe for a couple of months through January and then maybe find a place on loan. But there's a, you know, there's limited, that is diminishing returns, how long he can train there. But look, it's a great spot he's at. He just has to keep doing what he's doing and keep working hard. But obviously it's a thrill to see him, you know, just any American, even if it's just a friendly, playing with the team, you know, that storied and stuff. And obviously they like him. So, but how far it will take with him, you know, you can't really tell until he starts playing some first team minutes.
Yeah, and he only recently got up to Barcelona B, according to Jordi Sunyer, who's also been on the show from Spain. So,
yeah.
You know, you have to be very careful with these preseason friendlies. We've learned, I know you know that, but I'm just saying we've learned that when, you know, we have the ICC games that come over here and you see some really talented players and you're like, whatever happened to him? Oh, well, he, you know, he's still in the reserve team. This is another interesting one that you put out. Johnny Cardoso, 18 years of age at Internacional in Brazil, a defensive midfielder, a lot of injuries at that team, and he's gotten an opportunity for the top team in Brazil's Serie A. Tell us about him.
Oh, he's an exciting guy. He's born actually near where we are, in Denville, New Jersey. But he's raised predominantly in, he has some family up here, but he's raised predominantly in Brazil. Very good defensive midfielder. He's very young. I mean, I think it's interesting that Greg Berhalter really took the lead in reaching out and contacting with his player and bringing him into the fold. And he's even mentioned him specifically. I think he was going to get a call up in March to the games that were canceled. But that would have, you know, so they rate him highly. You know, Berhalter, I said, brought him into a USU 23 camp, but he's still very young, and defensive midfielders tend to, you know, they tend to blossom a little bit later in their career. So to have him doing well at this age is good. You know, he benefited to the fact that there was some injuries and rumored COVID breakout within the team, which kind of paved the way for him to getting minutes. But he took advantage. He did very well. Now those players are all back. They lost without Johnny playing over the weekend. But look, I think he's a long-term player. This is a big pickup, I think, and he's got a lot of opportunities ahead with the USU 20 team, the USU 23 team, the next two U23 teams, as well as the first team. So they have time is on their side to break him in. But he's checking a lot of boxes early, and that's a position that's not very deep right now. When you look at the youth national teams among right now, the player pools, they could use more defensive midfielders.
What's his physical makeup?
I think he's about 6'1". He's a tall guy. He's a little slender. I mean, because, look, he's only 18, so he's not, you know, fully built out yet. You know, he has the makings of being able to really handle the physical side. He's tall, which is what you want from that position, even if I say that as Tyler Adams isn't the tallest kid out there. But this guy, you know, he covers a lot of ground out there. It's exciting. And his long ball passing is terrific.
So he's got a good range of passing as well. That sounds good. Let me take you to Gio Reyna. Watched him today. Still smooth. Taking corners, taking free kicks, scoring off a free kick against Duisburg. Tell me about him and maybe what's the effect of Marco Reus returning as well, who was out injured.
Well, I mean, welcome back, Reus. It's welcome news. I mean, like I think regardless, you know, I think Gio, as good as he was last year, Stoneley started one game, I think it was, towards the end of last season. So, but he's still very rated very highly, and he comes in with a very solid preseason. So now, like, you want to see with every young player, you want to see progress, not stagnation. That's really the name of the game. I mean, you don't want him to be just as good as he was last year, even if that still is a high level. You know, he needs to, you know, you always need to raise that bar with 16, 18, 17, 18, 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds. Like, that's it. So, you know, and the pressure's on at Dortmund to win. I mean, they're back in the Champions League, and they want to be able to push towards the top of the table. can he be the number 10 to lead a team of that caliber? I mean, that's a high bar. I think he's going to get a chance. I think he's going to get a lot of minutes. Will he crack 2,000 minutes? That'll be close, but you know, I think among all competitions, it's certainly very possible.
Yeah, let's not forget he's 17 years of age, by the way, as a reminder. Unbelievable. All right, so Brendan Aaronson got a lot of attention down at the MLS's back tournament. Obviously, a very young, talented player. Europe seems to be beckoning for him. A lot of links to Red Bull Salzburg. What are your thoughts on Brendan Aaronson?
You know, another Jersey kid. I really like him a lot. I think he's one of the more fun players to watch in the league. I mean, look, he plays the number 10 for the team that I think is the best team right now. Regardless of standings, I think Philadelphia is the best team in the Eastern Conference. And he's their number 10. And he controls the game well. I think there's still certainly a lot of areas he needs to improve. He needs to be able to touch the ball more. He needs to see the ball more. But his finishing's better. But if you look at where he was last year when he was still starting a lot of games, he's better. I mean, he filled out a little bit more. He can handle the physical side. He can muscle defenders off well. And he scores some nice goals. So I think it's the hype is warranted to an extent. I think this is not a starter for the national team, but this is obviously a key cog on the USU-23 team. I think it's a guy that, should his club release him wherever he is next year, he could be the starting number 10 in Tokyo at the Olympics. And from there, you only see your stock rise. I've heard the rumors have been out there, but I can confirm that, I've heard Red Bull Salzburg is interested in him. And that would be a pretty good level for him in the Austrian Bundesliga. You get a lot of offensive chances in that because that's a team that scores a lot of goals in that league.
Last one. We're up on a hard break here, but I want a minute on FC Dallas's Regin Cannon. Now, he's moved to Boa Vista. Apparently, FC Dallas retains 25% of their investment on this. And then I do on television the Houston-Dallas game this weekend, and Brian Reynolds just steps in and, obviously looks like a ready-made replacement out of your academy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the way you really want it to work, isn't it?
Yeah, you always want to be able to replace the guys you sell. I mean, that's how Ajax has done it for decades. And Reggie scored in a preseason game. I mean, I rate the importance of that one a little bit higher because that's the final one before the regular season. I think he's going to do well, and I don't think he's going to be at Boa Vista long. If he does well there, I think he's going to Lille, and they have common ownership between those two teams. So it's up to him. The pathway is set for him to go to a very, very high level. Now it's just up to him to take advantage. And I like his athleticism to handle that right back spot. He's really gifted in that respect, and his soccer side has improved tremendously at FC Dallas. So kudos to them on great development of a real national team player.
Tremendous insight. Brian Sciarretta, you can get him at American Soccer Now, and you can also follow him at Brian Sciarretta on Twitter. Brian, tremendous job. Thank you.
Thank you, Glenn.
And you will get a transfer to Europe because you were exceptional tonight. By the way, Wolfgang Sunholz said this: Austin is a soccer city in 2017 at the ATX Soccer Awards. It was a gala. Well, today would have been his 74th birthday. Nothing's going on soccer-wise in Austin without Wolfgang Sunholz. Show brought to you, as always, by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLawAustin.com. The number to call there is 512-865-6710. You have any problems, you need a personal injury attorney, it's DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. Daspit Law Austin, the presenting sponsors of Soccer Matters here on The Horn. Incredible song by Dan Auerbach. Heartbroken and Despair. Tremendous song. By the way, Davey Arno is our next guest. Before we get to him, a quick word here for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. They are bilingual. Davey Arno, over 200 appearances for Sporting Kansas City. Also played at Montreal, D.C., 350-plus appearances in MLS. He is now the assistant coach to his former teammate in Kansas City with Josh Wolf. Here is my interview with Davey Arno. Well, I guess, Davey, the first obligatory question is how is you and your family doing? Moved to Austin, and you know, with COVID and everything and your children?
Yeah, family's doing well. Glenn, thanks for asking. Yeah, we're good. We're here in Austin now, and we're settled in, and obviously during a crazy time for everybody, right? It's not ideal to be trying to do a move with the whole family in the middle of that, but it's been smooth, and we're very happy and excited about our new city.
How about you professionally? You know, to be working with a great teammate that you played with 7 years at Kansas City, mm-hmm. Josh Wolf, you guys have a lot of similar mm-hmm. ideas about the thing. Speak about the opportunity when it was presented, and then, you know, the fact that a great teammate that you've shared a lot of experiences with, you're going to be involved with him and Josh Wolf.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Glenn, I couldn't be more excited, and I'm not just saying that. That's genuine. I couldn't be more excited about, you know, the chance and the opportunity to work with Josh. You know, we obviously, our relationship goes back a long way to our playing days, and you know, I'll be honest, since I was a college player at West Texas A&M, I admired and looked up to Josh when he was playing with the national team. I've told him stories about being in my dorm room there at West Texas and watching him score against Mexico and Columbus, you know, and then to get to play with him after that. And as a player, he took me under his wing and really, really guided me in a good direction at an important time at the start of my career. And then, you know, our relationship has obviously continued. And as he's gone into coaching and I've gone into coaching, we've stayed in contact. You know, through my time there in Houston, we would regularly talk about the game, you know, about our own teams, about other teams around the league. We'd talk tactics with each other. I'd pick his brain about certain things, and he would do the same with me. And we've always enjoyed, I think, you know, over the past 2-3 years especially, enjoyed bouncing ideas off each other. And he's obviously worked in a great environment with Greg, one that I always admired from afar, the work that they were doing together with Columbus and with the national team. So, you know, Josh is somebody that I've constantly stayed in touch with. This didn't just the relationship sort of didn't rekindle just recently. This is something that's been ongoing for a long time. And everything has kind of worked out to where, you know, I now have had the opportunity to come and join him here. And I'm super excited about it, because I think just as I did as a player, learning a lot from him, I think I'm going to do the same thing as a coach. I think, you know, I think we're always growing and learning as coaches, and I'm no different. And I think Josh is somebody who's perfect for me to now be working under, because I think we see the game a lot in the same ways. And I think that it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a good opportunity for me personally, for sure.
Josh has been on the show. He's, as you and I were talking before we got on here, tremendous with the media. And you and I had spoken about the importance of the head coach and media providing messaging to a fan base and getting certain things out to make the team interesting and your mm-hmm. ideas. You call that a prerequisite for the job, don't you? Part of the job description.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it comes with the territory. I think you need to be open, open and willing to share with the media and with the fans, and you know, really connect with the local fan base and with the people in your city and with the media that's covering your team. I think it's important. I think Josh is that. He's obviously he's an easy guy to talk to. What I think you notice when you talk to Josh is he has very clear ideas and a clear understanding about what he wants. Whether that's you know, the game model and how we're going to play, whether that's the way we're going to act, whether that's the way, you know, everything's very detailed and very clear in terms of what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. And, you know, and having heard him speak, you know, with yourself or other people in the media, I think he approached it the same way. He's open and to having good conversation, and that's Josh. So I think it's important, and I think he does a good job with that.
Did Josh come to you with the idea of being the assistant coach? I mean, when were you offered the job? How did that happen? And then when was your first conversation with him, being such great longtime teammates?
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, because you're always having conversations, especially with your friends, and we're in the same profession. And, you know, you say, oh, if you get a job one day, you know, maybe we could work together, you know, but it's all hypothetical, right? And then once sort of, you know, I obviously got the job, the interim job there in Houston. Josh was a guy that I talked to a lot, just for, you know, advice and ideas. And so we stayed in contact through that. And then, you know, as it was developing at the end of the year in Houston, and I was interviewing there, and there was a possibility of me getting the job there. You know, we stayed in contact again, but it wasn't until after, after I found out that I wasn't going to get the job in Houston that we, you know, kind of started to talk about the possibility. You know, I explored some other possibilities or options. You know, you always keep options open, but, you know, and then it sort of gained some momentum as this year has gone on, the more we've talked and saw it as a real opportunity.
Yeah, exciting. Look, you know, I was here in Houston when you had the head coaching job. I thought you did a tremendous job on the interim basis. I was hoping you were going to get the job. There are certain parts of your business, the media business, you know, you are going to get disappointed in your careers, and some are going to hurt more than others. So I will ask you candidly, how badly did you want that job to be the head coach, and did that one hurt a little bit?
Yeah, I would be lying if I said that that it didn't. Yeah, it was, you know, I felt like, you know, and the way that we ended the year was, you know, I would have liked to win more games, of course, but I felt like we were going in a good direction. The guys were bought in, and listen, I understand there's other factors that come into it, right? You know, the ownership and the club, they want to go in a different direction, and I fully understand that that's part of this business. And, you know, I'm very appreciative that Matt Jordan and the club gave me the opportunity to take over at the end of the year, and had a great experience. Wouldn't change that for anything. But, you know, at the end I wanted the job. I wanted to get the job. I'm not going to say that I didn't. And it didn't work out, but it's not the first time that I'm going to be disappointed as a coach. You know, I think anybody who's been involved in this game at any level, player, coach, front office, you're not always going to get the things that you want. And that's part and parcel of what we do. It certainly shouldn't change what you're about or the way that you go about things. It's just, it's an understood part of the job. And, I'm very thankful for my time in Houston and what I got to learn and the faith that the club showed in me. And they felt that it was a time to go in a different direction. And, you know, everything happens for a reason, Glenn. I think what it's led to is me being in a really good spot now. I think what I'm going to learn here under Josh and the amount that I'm going to grow personally and hopefully help this club grow is going to be a really good thing. So no regrets at all. You know, you move past the disappointment and you're ready for the next challenge. And that's where I'm at right now. And I'm super excited about it.
Davey Arno now with Austin FC, and they've got a great pickup in him. Josh Wolf, the coach, Claudio Reyna, the sporting director. There's been a great youth staff assembled. There's a lot of exciting things going on. So I will just personally say, having known you a long time, even way, way back when you first got into MLS, Austin FC's got a man of integrity. So big
appreciate
time.
It. Thanks,
kudos to you. And
thank you.
Another thing I want the listeners to understand is you've over the years always have helped me with some pediatric cancer related things. And you never said no, you just somehow figured out a way to be a part of it. And everybody appreciates those types of things. All right. You've been at different clubs as an assistant coach now. Yeah. Just speak to me about what it's like now to be on this, you know, with Austin FC, it's an expansion team. You kind of have this clean palette. Yes, you have two very vibrant, interesting signings in Rodney Redis and Cecilio Dominguez. Just kind of take me through the fact that it's new, it's fresh, the fans are getting excited. You know, it really is something unique.
It's very unique. It really is. You don't really get the opportunity many times to be a part of something like this. And, you know, I've noticed it since I've been here, just the feeling and the buzz in the city. And, you know, offices right here, where we're at right now is close to the new stadium going up and the training facilities being built. And it's just, it's a buzz. It's in the air. You can feel it. And it's exciting. Obviously we've only signed two players at this point, but it's something that I know, Claudio and Josh, myself, the scouts are working on, to add more players. But it's there's a definite vibe and an excitement. And the good thing about it is, you know, Josh now has, like you said, a completely clean slate. So he's going to be able to implement how he wants to play. And I will say that since I've got here, there is an absolute clear plan and a vision and a direction that he wants to go in terms of the types of players that he wants and the way that he wants to play. And we're trying to acquire the players now to fit into that. The difference is we're not looking for two or three players. We're looking for, you know, 20, 25 players, which is a challenge in and of itself. But the good thing about it is it's not, there's nothing random about the way that they're going about it. It's very specific, and we're targeting certain types of players and looking to acquire those players when the time is right.
Talking to Davey Arno, assistant coach for Austin FC. So during your career, you know, you came out of college early, West Texas A&M. You played under Butch Laufer, the legendary coach out there. You leave college early for the huge sum of, and you will fill that in for me, but to see Major League Soccer now and then to remember when you entered the league, I mean, I know what it is through my lens. What is it through your lens? Did you ever even think it could be at this level with stadiums being built specifically for the sport and some of the markets that are blowing up like Austin?
I mean, honestly, again, I mean, this is almost 20 years ago now you're talking. So when I look back 10 years, I don't know if I would have thought that the league would be where it is now. So, you know, when you say 20 years, I mean, to see where it is now is – it really is incredible, and especially with the new teams that are coming into the league, the types of players and the quality that is coming into our league now. This is a real league. These are real players that are coming into our league now and at a good age. We're not talking about guys who, you know, might be getting towards the end of their careers. We're talking about guys at good ages, good, exciting, young American players. South American, Central American players that are at an age where they are just starting their career, which to me is the most exciting thing, right? Like as if you're speaking from fans of the game, you want the best players at the right ages playing in this league. As coaches, we want the same thing. I think the league wants the same thing, right? We don't want to be in a position where these guys, like they were before, and there's nothing against it, the bigger names who are coming towards the end of their careers coming, it adds something to the league. But I think when you're talking about really growing not only the clubs and the league, but the quality of these players and the quality of the play on the field, you're talking about the younger players who are now ready to make real impacts, and we're getting them at the right ages domestically and internationally, which to me is the most exciting. And to answer your question, did I think it would be at this point 20 years ago? No, not at all.
So you've done some remarkable things in Major League Soccer. You just had this remarkably long, consistent career. You had 7 years in Kansas City, or no, 10 years, excuse me. I almost slighted you there by three. I know you would have corrected me really quick. You do have all the Texas ties. You grew up in the Nederland area. You went to West Texas A&M. You leave college early to get into the pros. When you played professionally, you played a lot of different positions. You played in midfield. You played up front. You did a lot of differing things. Has that influenced your ability to coach, the fact that, you know, if you're talking to a midfielder, you actually have played there in competitive games? I would think that's an advantage.
Yeah, I really do, Glenn. I think it's, you know, I don't think it's mandatory to having played a certain position or at a super high level to be a good coach or be able to relate to a player. But in my opinion, I think it really does help. I think it's super important for me personally. And the fact that I got to, you know, one, play for a long time, two, like you said, to experience different positions on the field, it helps me better relate to players in terms of what they're seeing and how I can teach. right? And how I can teach these guys and coach these guys to be better. So yeah, I think it helps me in terms of how I coach. You know, I think it helped me with my longevity as a player, right? I don't think I was specific or great at any one thing. I tried to be good at as many things as I could be. And so that's kind of how I had to survive, how I had to survive as a player.
Well, also, I think you got to give yourself credit. It's a testament to your versatility. Not everybody can do that. And those types of players are important in Major League Soccer. Has Josh given you sort of the job description for Davey Arno, the assistant coach, and what would that entail?
Yeah, not specifically. Yeah, you know, we've talked, generally about how things are going to work. I think once the whole staff is on board and Josh knows exactly who is here and what qualities suit them best in terms of the work that we're going to do, I think obviously as that time gets closer, preseason gets closer, it'll become very clear and specific in terms of exact roles within the staff. You know, but for now, we're talking about the game. We're talking about his game model and how he wants to play, and we're talking about players, you know, within the league and outside of the league. And we're watching a lot of games and a lot of players right now. So that's been the focus so far.
Talking to Davey Arno, assistant coach of Austin FC. So in the past, when you've been an assistant on other teams, how do they break out? You know, some of the work that's done, like. Is your job a combination of scouting? Is it obviously on the day of the game, providing ideas to the coach? Is it training session? You know, how does that get broken up and amongst the staff? That might be an interesting one for the fan.
It is interesting, and it's different. I think it's different on different staffs. It depends on how many staff you have. It depends on, again, the qualities of each individual coach and what they're best at. In D.C., I worked more, my focus was more on the younger players or the guys that were playing in the USL games. So when you're talking about film or breaking down film, I was more in charge of doing that for the younger guys, right? So the guys that weren't involved with the first team, when they would play with the USL teams, I was the member on staff who would do video with those players individually. In terms of the collective or the group in DC, one coach will work on maybe preparing or scouting the next opponent, and another coach will work on the post game. So breaking down the video post game and presenting. You'll have one coach that's more focused on set pieces. Now that can be broken down to attacking and defending, right? So one coach might take one coach might take the other, or one might be in charge of both. In Houston, I was more in charge of, we sort of rotated the scouting. So I would scout the opponent 1 week. The other assistant, Michael De La Russa, would do the next week, and we would switch off that way. In terms of working on the field, some coaches will be in charge of the entire group. And then when you break off into attacking or defending type line work, I would work with the attacking group. Michael De La Russa will work with the defending group. You know, there's different ways of doing it, and coaches have different responsibilities. Knowing Josh, I know whatever the role is, it's going to be very defined. You're going to have a clear understanding of what's expected, the way that it's going to be coached. So for me, as a coach, as an assistant coach or somebody on staff, when you have that kind of direction from the head coach, that kind of clarity in terms of what your job is, it helps make your job a lot easier. So I have no doubt I'll get more information on that as we go.
Yeah, and assistant coaches have to have very forgiving wives, because you are taking the game home with you every night.
Yeah, absolutely. Even when you leave the office or you leave training, I think it's no different for any coach, head coach, assistant coaches. Your mind's always working, and there are other games within the league when you're not playing. So there's not a lot. A time off, but that's okay. That's part of the job. That's part of what we do.
Davey, very informative, very, very interesting interview. I thank you very much for taking the time to do this. First of all, I want to congratulate you also for getting the job at Austin FC. I think you, Claudio, Josh, the entire staff, the organization, it's going to be something special. So thank you for coming on the show tonight.
Thanks a lot, Glenn. I appreciate it. Anytime.
You got a good one there, Austin, with Davey Arno added to the staff. You're going to really, really enjoy his professionalism and his contributions. That does it for tonight. Again, a big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710, DaspitLawAustin.com. They are the presenting sponsors of this show. They get soccer on the air, so if you need a personal injury attorney, please consider DaspitLawAustin.com. Big thanks to Lou Style Vermouth as well. As we sign off tonight, we'll see you again next Monday night at 7 o'clock for Soccer Matters on the Horn, presented by DaspitLawAustin.com. Good night, everyone.